upon seen things above of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. But to tell the story for those who know it best, sing hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Colossians 1, we're reading verse 9. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do declare to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increased in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I was looking at verse 14 there. I'm going to preach on this little phrase, "through his blood." If you had a Bible this morning, any Bible but a King James Bible, you wouldn't have that in your Bible because they take it out. But through his blood. Now, let me say a little bit about blood. Blood is what people like to see. You know, people say, well, that religion is bloody religion. You know, a few years back, somebody told me that some of the people in some of the church, they took all the songbooks, had blood in them, took them out. Because they said it sounds too horrifying, it's sickening to think about blood. But people are interested in blood. You ever see a car wreck, people gather around, they're hoping to see some blood, you know. They have put on the fires. People don't care about the fire. They want to see blood, you know. You go down to the car races, and people there, they want to see blood. They're not interested who wins the race. They want to see blood. That's what people want to see. That's what they're interested in. And you heard the old saying, red, white, and blue. Red is draws people's attention. Red is just something that people look to. And but they say, you know, the red, white, and blue. You ever thought about why they say red, white, and blue? Why don't they say white, blue, and red? Why don't they say blue, white, red? Why do they always say red, white, and blue? You ever think about that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because blue is a picture of heaven. Okay? And you can't go to heaven unless you're white, unless you're pure, and you can't be pure without the blood. So it's the blood first. The blood makes you pure, and blue is a picture of heaven. So that's why it's always been red, white, and blue. Okay? And there's no such thing today as salvation without blood. I mean, you know, man's a bloody creature. You know, you all got 5 quarts of blood in you. Huh? I mean, without your blood, you're dead. You lose your blood, you're finished, you see. But, and no part of your body will function. If your blood gets weak, your whole system goes down. You can't do nothing. You got to have your blood at a certain level and a certain condition, or you just practically no good as an individual, see? But blood is what keeps you alive physically. The only way you can have eternal life is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And you go back in the history of man. History is a bloody book. I mean, history wrote a bloody book from the beginning of time. Man has shed blood through all the way back. Genesis 3, blood is shed. Genesis 4, blood is shed. And the Bible ends over there in the book of Revelation where they bring people to the altar and cut their head off and drink the blood. Psalm chapter 16. And the Bible ends with a bloody war in Revelation chapter 20. Gog and Magog. So the history of mankind is blood. You see, the Bible is a bloody book. It opens with blood. It ends with blood. It's blood all the way through it. In Genesis 4, the blood of the shepherd. And all through the book of Genesis, where blood is shed. In Genesis chapter 9, God said the blood is forbidden. In Leviticus chapter 17, God said don't eat the blood. In Acts chapter 15, New Testament, the Bible said the blood's forbidden. Don't eat the blood. Okay? I heard a story one time. They said an Indian got saved. And he went back out there to his tent or wherever he was, and he took one of his idols down, and he took his knife and he cut it. And it didn't bleed, so he burned it. He had more sense than an American Catholic. He knew anything didn't have blood, couldn't do nothing for you. Amen? I mean, you went down to the Catholic Church, took Mary's head and mashed it off. It wouldn't bleed. It wouldn't bleed. I mean, it's no good. Them folks, religion don't have blood, it's no good. A Bible don't have blood, it's no good. A Bible that takes Colossians 1:14 out is no good. It's a dead Bible. It won't save, you see. I mean, if a doctrine don't have blood, it's no good. There's nothing good about a Bible that teaches salvation by works. Anything that offer salvation by blood is just another road the devil paved to hell. See? The Bible says we have redemption through His blood. Amen? If you remember that. I mean, if you get saved, it'll take blood to save you. These little liberal radio preachers come on there, you know, and say, let Christ into your life. Not without blood. They say, you know, God loves you. Share your love. Not without blood. They don't talk about that, you see. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a gospel today that's preached that a way of salvation is not a gospel at all. If a gospel is not a bloody gospel, it's not a way of salvation. The Bible says we have redemption through His blood. And I'm going to tell you something today, and like I said, I'm not talking about everybody, but most churches are not preaching a salvation message. They're preaching a way to tell you how to go to hell. A lot of churches you go to today and they tell you can get to heaven through the sacraments or the golden rule. They're telling you how to get to hell. They're not telling you how to get to heaven. The Bible says we have redemption through his blood. And a church or a school or an organization that will accept the Bible that leaves through his blood out is a devil Bible. I don't believe no saved preacher would use or recommend no such of a devil Bible. But you go to most church today, they say, well, we recommend the NIV, we recommend the ESV, we recommend the RSV, we recommend the Good News, the Living Bible. Those Bibles take the blood out. Those Bibles will send you to hell if you believe them. Tell you something, you pick up a Bible and says, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, you believe that, you'll end up in hell. See? Now look at your Bible in Colossians 1:13, the Bible says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and that translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That Bible saying, it said God delivered you from something to something, but he did it with something. Amen? Now you notice that thing? Verse 13, the Bible says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's the power of the devil. Darkness is the devil's kingdom. And that's the devil's desire to every sinner today is to keep him in the dark. Okay? But the Bible said that delivered us from the power of darkness and it translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, you see. That's a kingdom of light. See? When God saved you, he saved you from the power of darkness to the kingdom of light, and he did that by blood. Amen? That was done by blood. Now take your Bible and turn to Romans 5, and I'll show you something over here. Romans chapter 5. And let's read this. Romans 5, verse 9. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And the only thing that will justify your sin and save you from going to hell is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will. The Bible says, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved by wrath through him. See? Now, note the tense of that thing. Much more than being now justified. That's right now. We shall be, that's a future tense, we shall be saved by wrath through him. You see, the salvation by blood covers our present and our future. Okay? The blood that saved you justified your sin when it saved you. And that same blood that saves you gives you the power to live right. Because the Bible says, I read you this morning in the Bible, hour, that God give us the power. Okay, that is power to live away from the power of sin. And the future we're saved from the penalty of sin. But each day as we live, because of that blood that saved, we're saved on a daily basis from the power of sin. You don't know why? A lot of people can't get their life right, can't get victory, nothing in their life. Huh? Blood's never been put in the right place. Huh? I mean, you see so many people today, you know, they say they're saved and they can't get no victory in their life. They can't get no, they have no power in their life to overcome sin. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not in law but under grace. When God saves you by the blood, brother, that's a power applied to your life. I mean, the Holy Ghost justifies your sin, and then the Holy Ghost don't justify your sin, then lead you to continue your life in sin. It gives you power to overcome that thing and live a life victorious over that life. Now, let me show you something else. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18 is on page 1312. Listen to this. Bible says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Okay? 1 Peter 1:18 says this. if you're saved, you know. I'm going to say it, I want you to listen to me real close. This verse says, if you got saved, you know that it wasn't nothing you did, wasn't nothing you worked for, wasn't nothing you earned, and you didn't get it through your traditional religion. Now, based on that, if that's true, and it is, I don't have a problem with that verse, but if that verse is true, that means these people tell you they know they're saved because they got to live a certain standard or a certain height or a certain level or go by a certain set of rules. That means they don't know they're saved because they're lost. Huh? You know, people need to get their Bible in the right place, use it, and believe it. Peter said, for as much as you know. Huh? You know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. You know that you didn't have no price to buy your salvation. Alright? And you know that it wasn't no traditional religion you kept that got you saved. But he said, if you're saved, you know this. You know it was with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, without blemish. You know that's what redeemed. You know this morning that you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Like I told you, I asked a man out in jail, did he save? He said, oh yeah, I'm saved because I got baptized. Well, that man don't know he's saved. See? That man lost. If he thinks he's saved because he got baptized, he's lost. You say, well, I think I'm saved because I talk in tongues. Well, you're lost. See? You can't get that nowhere in the Bible. That's just another devil lie to send you to hell. You see, the devil would like to make you think you're saved because of something you've done. That's glory to you, isn't it? But see, God wants you to know when you got saved, that's glory to Him because the only thing saved you was the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Well, I'll tell you what, this day and time, these preachers get up and can preach all day and they'll mention the blood. They'll mention salvation. Okay? I mean, if you got saved, if you're saved this morning, you got saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something else. If you saved, according to Peter, the Bible said, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, if you're saved, the blood of Jesus Christ means more to you than life, health, and money or people. All right? Now, I'll try to finish up this morning. I'm giving you four things. Four things about the blood of Christ. First of all, I want to show you the purity of the blood. The purity of the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is unlike any man that ever lived. Nobody ever had blood like Jesus Christ. I had an article, heard it one time. There was some preacher, and I forget, I'm not sure I know him, but anyway, he said this. He said that Christ's blood had nothing to do with salvation. It was his death that saves. And his blood was no different from anybody else. Now, if you was lost and religiously stupid, you could accept that. But no saved person could accept that. No Bible believer could accept that. That's a lie from a lost man. Folks, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I could quote the verse, I'm sure. I want to read it to you. I want you to see it. I'd like for you to remember this verse because this is a verse that will help you in a lot of things. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says this. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock with which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. According to the Bible, God purchased the church with his own blood. Now you tell me that Jesus Christ's blood wasn't any different from anybody else. And like I said, you got to be lost to believe that. Amen. I mean, you think that your blood is like that? Let me tell you something. I know that's a lie because I know this. I know that you're going to die and I'm going to die because we got bled blood. Jesus Christ died. He rose from the dead. You know why? Because he didn't have bad blood. We come from a bad bloodline all the way back to Adam. The human race descended from bad blood. Okay? Don't you let nobody tell you nothing like that. And you know, you get one of our tapes, and if you were to pick it up, we got on the side of the tape, the blood or hell. And that's it, folks. Your trust of blood is a payment for your sin, or you're burning hell. In whom we have redemption through his blood. You better remember that. See? Somebody said, well, you've been whitewashed. No, I ain't been whitewashed. I've been washed white. Been washed white by the blood. You see, the human race is one blood and none of it's no good. Take your Bible and turn, just flip back a page or two there. Back to Acts chapter 17. And watch this. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 26. Acts 17, 26. And they made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Huh? You know why God made all nations one blood? Suppose all nations weren't one blood. Suppose different races had another blood. Then Christ's blood couldn't have saved them all, could it? Huh? Listen, folks, Mary's blood won't redeem nobody. Confucius' blood won't redeem nobody. Joe Smith's blood won't redeem nobody. The only blood that can redeem the human race, the human bloodline, is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the verse that they use to try to prove that all races are the same. But they didn't read all the verse. The Bible said that God made of one blood all nations. Why did he do that? So all nations can worship God. Huh? But the rest of that verse says that God appointed the bounds of their habitation. You know what bounds are? It's dead. That's far as you can go. You know what America done? You know what they were? They tore down the bounds. They crossed over them. Billy Graham won't tell you that on television. He'll read part of the verse and tell you that means immigration's okay. But he won't read all of the verse and explain it all. All right, not only the purity of the blood, I want to deal with the purpose of the blood. The purpose of the blood. The purpose of the blood of Jesus Christ was to satisfy a perfect law and justify mankind that was not perfect. And that was his purpose. If Christ hadn't shed his blood, nobody could be saved. This morning, if you trust in the sacraments, the golden rule, anything else to save you, you have rejected the purpose of the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, the Bible says, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, how did he save them? He came into the world to save sinners. How is he going to save them? By teaching them how to live right? By teaching them how to keep the golden rule? No, by shedding his blood to pay for their sins. We have redemption through his blood, see? See, that according to the law, there had to be one perfect man who died a perfect death and made a perfect sacrifice that God would accept, and that was Jesus Christ shedding his blood. Okay? It'd be like if you had something you wanted to sell, and I said, I want $100 for it. You said, I'll give you my spare tire for it. I said, I don't want your spare tire. He said, I'll give you my old dirty clothes for it. I said, I don't want your dirty clothes. He said, I'll give you my old hat for it. I don't want your hat. I want my $100. That's what God said about man's sin. God said, only thing I'll accept for sin pay is the blood of Jesus Christ. I won't accept your good life. I won't accept your religion. I won't accept your works. I won't accept your baptism. I won't accept your sacraments. I won't accept your golden. The only thing I'll accept is the blood of Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood. And the purpose of the blood was to satisfy a perfect law by a righteous God to justify man that couldn't save himself, and man, it was imperfect. And that purpose has still stand, and it won't ever change. It won't ever change. Then something else I want to show you this morning about the blood. I want to show you the penalty of the blood. The penalty of the blood. You know, blood carries a penalty. If blood is shed, it carries a penalty. Go back to in your Bible in the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, and this stands today. I'm not out of place here. Go back to Numbers chapter 35. And let's begin reading in verse 31. That's on page 214. And I'll show you what's the matter of this nation today. Numbers 35, verse 31, the Bible says this. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. God said this, that a murderer shall surely be put to death. Huh? Now what happens if you don't? Verse 32. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. I'm going to explain that verse a little bit. You know, in the Old Testament they had cities of refuge where if there was somebody to kill somebody. Now there is three ways that murder is justified. I say killing. I won't say murder. Let me say killing. There's three ways in the Bible that killing is justified. Number one, it's justified to kill in war. Number two, it's justified to kill in self-defense. Okay? In war and self-defense. And it's justified if it's accidental. If you out there and you working with somebody, you up on top of a building, he's down below and you drop a concrete block in his head and it knocks his brains out, that's an accident. You didn't mean to. That wasn't under your heart. That's justifiable. And when these kind of killings were committed, they were cities of refuge these people could go to and be tried by the priest and be cleared, and there couldn't be nothing be done to them. But God said that a murderer, even if he goes to the city of refuge, he can't stay there. He's still guilty of murder. He's still going to die. Okay, that's what verse 20 or 32 says. Now look at verse 33. Numbers 35, 33. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, by the blood of him that shed it. You know what God said? God said, when a murderer kills somebody, when he sheds blood, that land is polluted, and that land can't be cleared until the murderer's blood is shed. You know what it means in America? That means America, the land of this nation, is polluted, and it's going to stay that way until they clean out death row up here in this state and every state in the Union. Now I'm going to tell you something here. You folks listen to me real close. I'm not a politician. I don't deal much in politics. But this is a voting year. And I'm going to say something here, and I don't care whether maybe it's the Democrats, Republicans, or independents. I don't know whether you like it or not. No, I don't care. But I'm going to say something here. Any politician that's not against capital punishment shouldn't be allowed to even run for a public office. You don't hear men get up a day and say, my platform is this. You won't hear no senator in Florida, no president get up and say, my platform is to clean out Death Row the first year I'm in office. He wouldn't get in office, probably because the people don't believe that, see? The American people have got so far away from God and the Bible, they don't believe what the Bible says. I guarantee you won't turn your TV on and know that, what's that fella comes on a lot of times that, what's his name, out of Atlanta? Got a big church up there, Swindoll, is that his name? Stanley, that's him, that Charles Stanley won't never preach that. The Bible he uses is probably took out anyway. Billy Graham won't preach that. You won't go to one of his crusades and him get up and say, folks, America's never going to be cleansed unless we kill these murderers. They talk about pollution, the environment. We want to clean up the country. We want to get pollution. I'll tell you how to start. Get the gas chamber ready. Warm up the electric chair. Load the M16s and get your rope, and we'll clean up this nation. So I said, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Huh? Then, folks, according to the Bible, according to what God said, blood carries a penalty. If you take a man's blood because you hate him, because you're a murderer, if you kill a man, listen to me now, according to the Bible, the only way it's going to justify that blood is to shed yours. Say, we give him life in prison. They know when the Bible said to give a man life in prison. He ain't supposed to get life in prison. He's supposed to shed his blood. God didn't say put him in jail for life and 25 years, let him out. Huh? That ain't in the Bible. God says, kill him. Now, if I'm talking, if some liberal gets hold of this tape and hears it, well, you might think, I don't care what you think of me, but I'm giving you what God said. If you don't like it, tell God about it. Amen? And I'm for it. I'm for it. If they was to tell me, say, starting tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we're going to let Q1 every hour. We clean them out. I'd say, glory to God, good. Oh, my, oh, them poor people, them poor boys up there, women. Well, them poor women and men should have thought about it before they shed people's blood. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Tell you something else, I believe. You're going to love this. I think if a man is caught dealing dope to teenagers, he ought to be tried for murder and killed. You go into school and you give a little kid dope, you're going to ruin their life. You're going to kill them before they even get a chance. And a man does that, he ought not to get no 3 years in jail. They ought to take him up and electrocute him the next day. It's a good thing I ain't control this thing, folks. It wouldn't be like it is now. I'm going to tell you something else. A man that takes an automobile and goes in a bar and gets stupid drunk and takes that car and kills somebody ought to be electrocuted for murder in the state of Florida. No $1,000 fine. No loss of license. No probation. Kill him. He's a murderer. You say, but he knew what he's doing. He had self-control. He had enough sense to know if he went in that bar and got drunk and got a car, he was dangerous. Kill him. You do that a few times, you wouldn't have too many drunk drivers out here. You take a few of these dope pushes and kill them, you wouldn't have too much dope going on. Now, I'm not telling you a fairy tale, but I'm telling you what I believe. And if I had my way about it, that's the way it would be. I mean, you know why I wouldn't run for no public office, don't you? How many would vote for me? Would you people vote for me? Most people, I wouldn't even get a chance, you know. But I mean, that's in the Bible, folks. I mean, I've read you what the Bible says. That's what God said. And I ain't read over here in New Testament where it says, that's not in effect. That don't mean that now. You just throw that away now. God says, a murderer shall surely be put to death. See? And he said, if you don't kill him, you polluted the land, and the land cannot be cleansed. Now listen to this. It don't say that the land can be cleansed by the environmentalist, does it? The only thing going to clean the land is get rid of the murderers. Some of you kids go to school, so now you have to write an essay on something. You're going to write an essay on murderers. If you have to come to me, I'll write it for you. I'll tell you how to write a good one. You'll probably make an X on it. On E, that E's excellent, right? You make an E on that one. Somebody said the other day that some kids had to write an essay on what this thing they had here in town the other day. The kids had to write an essay on, what did it say? Oh, I forgot. Huh? Gun control. Yeah, gun control. Yeah. They'll let me write an essay on gun control. I think every man ought to have a gun and have it under his control. So when they come to take it, he can stop them. I'm for gun control. I believe there ought to be a law that every red-blooded American have a .357. At least a .357 or a .44 Magnum or a good .45 or a good 9mm. That ought to be a law. And they knock on your door and say, you got a gun? I say, yeah. They say, we want. I say, you're going to get, how many shots you want, 9 or 6? Yes, sir, I believe that. I told you the other day, the only reason that we got any liberty right now, and they're trying to tell you what, it's because of the 20 million guns in American homes today. They're trying to get rid of them. We got a bunch of people in Washington that want to pass a law that if you own a weapon, you like the worst criminal on the streets. And they pass that law, you looking at a criminal. Because they knock on my door and say, you got a gun? I say, I got several of them. And we want them. I say, which one you want first, the .357 or the sawed-off shotgun? .357 shoots 6 times, the sawed-off shotgun shoots twice. Which one you like to have first? Because they take your gun, you're their slave anyway. But folks, what I'm trying to show you is here, the penalty of the blood has a penalty to it. If a man sheds another man's blood, there's a penalty for that blood that God won't accept, except that man's blood. You know, if the American people believe that, and the preachers believe that, and they preach that, and they dealt with that, instead of all this other garbage they're trying to get involved in, we might have a little different nation in our country. Well, people don't believe that, no way. Well, anyway. All right, my last point is this. I want to talk to you about the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Do you realize every time I think the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ? Huh? We sang a song, an old Baptist song, that's power in the blood. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's true. That's power in the blood, you see. That the blood can do for you what no religion in the world can do. You can go to every religion in the world, you can read all the books and perform all the ceremonies and all the things they require, but it won't, none of it, do nothing for you what the blood of Jesus Christ will do for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, the only thing that'll save your soul from hell. Nothing else will. Bible said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. See? Then folks, there can't no religion save you apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. None. A Bible without the blood can't save, you see? Listen, the blood will change your inward affections. Huh? The blood will make you love things you never loved before. The blood, the power of the blood will cause you to hate sin. Huh? The blood can give you courage you never thought you had before. Therefore, when Jesus went back to heaven, he left one thing. He left his blood. Now, I don't mean literal blood. I don't mean you can go up and scoop it up with a cup and pour it on your head. I'm not talking about that. But let me show you something in the Bible. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 9. Let me give you this here. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, I want you to listen to this real close. It's in verse 14, and I've read this verse a lot of time before, but I want you to read this verse. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? As that little phrase in the first part, how much more shall the blood of Christ? See? Then, folks, the Bible says salvation is life in his Son. All right? Now, if that blood couldn't be appropriated, God wouldn't have put this in the Bible. See? It's not like you go down to the altar and you buy you some or you get some, but you appropriate the blood in your belief. You listen? That's how it's done. It's not something that you go and say, well, I want to buy a cup of blood this morning. No, it's not. That's not what we're talking about here. It's something that you accept by faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. He died for your sins. His blood was shed, and you're depending on that blood to pay for your sin to get you to heaven and keep you from going to hell. It's appropriated by faith in what God said about the blood. But there's power in that blood, folks. Let me tell you, there's power there. You put your faith in that blood, and God will give you something you never knew you could have. I used to hear, when I first got saved, I'd hear, well, you know, we saved by faith. I hear, you know, we saved by trusting Christ. And I didn't, then I, they, well, you know, I, then I heard, well, you, we saved by blood. And I could not make all that come out right. I couldn't get it all down. I said, well, I trusted Christ. I believe in the blood. I don't understand it. And I began to read the Bible, and I began to study, and it come to me. I said, well, it's very simple. Christ shed his blood. That blood paid for my sins. When I accept Christ, I put my faith in the sacrificial blood he shed for my sins. I had no trouble with that. Of course, I had to study the Bible to find that out. But I mean, you know what I mean when I say that's why people ought to get in the Bible. Know what you got. Know what you're trusting. Hey? I tell them fellas out of jail today, I said, if you stood before God right now and God looked at you and said, give me one reason why I shouldn't send you to hell, what would you say? He said, well, I'd tell God I was, I'd been, hope he wouldn't send me there. I said, you know, I'd been good and try to live right and just trust his mercy. I said, I wouldn't do that. If I stood before God and God said, why shouldn't I send you to hell? You know what I'd say? I wouldn't say because I was a prejudiced preacher, because I live good. I'd say, because of the blood of Jesus Christ I've trusted. Let me tell you something, folks. God won't send you to hell trusting the blood. I'll tell you something else. You say, because I'm a good fellow. I'm religious. I talked in tongues. And I took the sacrament. I kept the golden rule. God said, depart from me, you cursed everlasting fire. I never knew you. Huh? A lot of folks going to be that way. A lot of folks going to say, Lord, boy, I was about the best you had down there. Boy, in my church, I was the number one man. Yeah, a lot of them think that. They think they're real great in their church, you know. They stand before God, they better have the blood applied. Or they'll drop in the hill 40 miles an hour. They'll be like them hogs going down that steep place. There ain't no coming back either. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And the last part of that verse says even the forgiveness of sins, you see. You see, there's two parts of that verse. You're redeemed by His blood, right? But after you're redeemed, those sins you commit after that are still forgiven by the blood. 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the basis of that is the blood. See? We're redeemed by blood. We're kept by the power of blood. We're forgiven by blood. And we'll stand justified before God in heaven because of the blood. Through His blood. Not through our church, our religion, our sacraments, our good life. None of that junk. The Bible said through His blood. Now let me ask you something.